بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد لله رب العالمین و الصلاة و السلام على جميع الانبیاء والمرسلین.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم.
على خاتمهم و سیدهم محمد و آله الطاهرین و صحبه المنتجبین. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والنصر واجعلنا من خير انصاره و اوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه. جناب آقای محمد مرسی، رئیس محترم جمهوری مصر.
The respected president of Egypt.
جناب آقای رئیس مجمع عمومی، جناب آقای دبیر کل.
The secretary general of the United Nations, the respected prime minister of India. Heads of state of governments, respected ministers, and heads of states and other members of the delegations representing their countries. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful to Almighty God for holding of this meeting, and I welcome your presence in Iran, your own home, and in the 16th summit of the non-aligned movement. And I'm thankful to you for your trust in the Islamic Republic of Iran, your host. We also remember the late founders of the NAM, Jawaharlal Nehru from India, Egypt, Jamal Abdel Nasser, Tito from former Yugoslavia, Ahmad Sukarno of Indonesia, and Nkrumah from Ghana, as well as the colleagues who departed us, the Filipino president, Nigeria, Ghana, and also leader of North Korea, as well as the former Algerian president and president and prime minister of Iran, martyrs Rajai and Bahona. On such a day, 31 days ago, they were assassinated by terrorists advocated by world imperialists. I commemorate their memories, and I want the respected participants to stand up and keep silent for 1 minute to pay tribute to their souls.
از کشور عزیز و برادر مصر.
Brotherly country of Egypt, and Mohamed Morsi, the respected president of Egypt, I thank him for his constructive efforts during the management of the non-aligned movement. I'm sincerely thankful to him. Also, to the leader of the Islamic Revolution for his presence and his valuable speech. I also appreciate this. Respected colleagues, we have come here together in order to study the situation and the trend of developments to move toward building of a better future for our nations and for humanity. We've come here to put our heads together and take action. Without a doubt, all of us, and even maybe the whole of world nations, are dissatisfied with the status quo. Still, the historical aspirations shared by humanity, that is, removal of poverty, humility, and war, and vengeance, an establishment of a prosperous life replete with beauties and love and health under the shadow of justice and freedom and dignity and lasting peace. This has not yet materialized. Hundreds of years, human being has been suffering, and this has been going on. And recently, after going through slavery and colonialism, the same situation has emerged, but in a different form, and it has been imposed on world nations. Please pay attention. The major economic centers of the world are possessed by a number of capitalists of a number of countries, and the majority of the people remain in poverty, and they are paying the price of abuse and their mismanagement. Close to all the capitalist countries have great foreign debts, more than their own GDP, which means that as a matter of fact, they are bankrupt, and on a wider scale, and without any permission, they tap into the resources of other world nations. This is at a time when they themselves are in need of their own resources. By creating superficial and false properties, they impose everything in world nations and they get hold of their riches. There are some reports indicating $32,000 billion of creating some what is called paper properties, false properties, created, fabricated by the U.S. government. Most of the riches of Latin America are possessed by a number of companies affiliated to the world capitalists. This is at a time when the people of that region do not have the, they are not using the least of those original, their own riches and resources. The structures dominating in the world at a time that systematically and continuously the problems of a number of capitalist governments are being imposed on other nations, and in return, their countries' riches are transferred to richer countries. Latest technologies are monopolized and possessed by a special group, and in many instances it has changed to levers of political leverage. Human cultures that are the result of efforts of thousands of years, and as they are based on human nature, and they have their roots, and they're shared by world nations, cultures, and this is part of the beauty of the human society. This has been systematically been attacked and invaded against, so that this lack of identity is there, so that world nations could be humiliated. Woman's status and family is being annihilated, and there's great effort to impose a certain kind of life without any social identity to all world nations. Politically speaking, the basic rights and independence of nations are constantly being threatened, and under various pretexts, countries are being occupied. Publicly, they are antagonistic to our world nation's independence, and they create obstacles. Sale of arms is a lucrative business, and this is routine nowadays, and to have the sales, the arms of sales market, conflicts and clashes are being imposed on countries. Human smuggling, cultivation of drugs and narcotics, and the spread of terrorism, they're being proliferated and advocated in broad daylight. And this way, lasting peace and security is being turned into an unwinnable and unattainable wish. Without a doubt, to clarify the dimensions of all this, we need more time, respected colleagues and friends, to correct this. Time and again, justice seekers and freedom lovers, including the late leaders of the Nalaya movement, stood up. There were numerous movements staged and lots of efforts have been made. Despite all this, and despite the invaluable and positive impacts of such holy efforts, still the trend of affairs, the course of affairs, is not on the right track and to the interest of world nations and in line with lasting peace and security. Well, the major question is, why is that? Some insist that deceitfully they are referring this to world nations' weakness. Is it not true that the reason for not attaining lasting peace should be found in the thoughts and performances of the world leaders? Well, despite the formation of the United Nations that created lots of hopes and also great attempts, the management spreading all around the world has stopped the world from improving and witnessing lasting peace and security to have a better world for world people. The global management, as the main reason for the status quo in the past century, has two great peculiarities that have been effective. The first one is its nature of monopoly. It's quite evident that monopolizing management over major centers of the world economy that's being in the possession of a number of governments and capitalists. For instance, despite the presence of all of us in the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, all the pressures of a certain group of countries prevent us from applying experts' opinions and solutions of these two great organizations. Practically, in a number of instances, the IMF and the World Bank have to move and justify the unilateral and profiteering designs and schemes of those very governments. The monopoly in the UN Security Council is also out there for everyone to see. After 65 years, and despite the world admitting the rights of the Palestinian people, the performance, the attitude of the United Nations Security Council has practically helped spread of the crimes of the fabricated Zionist regime. In Afghanistan, Iraq, and Pakistan, the people have on a large scale and they're being killed systematically. And the Security Council justifies the situation because the main one in charge of this has the right to veto. Which independent nation has managed to, without any worry or without giving any concessions, to maintain their own rights by relying on the UN Security Council and to have their rights restored by the Council? Basically, how can you imagine to have this veto power at the hands of a number of governments like America and England that have always been on one side and responsible for all the conflicts? How can you have this independent action and seek justice at the Security Council? Independent nations and governments have no source to have to seek justice. The Security Council has also occupied the rights of the General Assembly and is dominating the Council. Now, the second point is domineering and selfishness. We all know that rulers of today on world centers are the very same slavers of yesterday and colonialist powers. They have simply changed their mottos and their slogans, and they're ruling over the centers of wealth and power in the world. And this is at a time that the spirit of their selfishness has not changed. Their colonialism is still there. They call themselves superior, a better race, and other world people slaves and inferior. They allow themselves to create tension and divide among ethnic groups and religious groups, to annihilate world nations' resources and set the stage for their own domination. They allow themselves to humiliate world nations and to plunder their rights in order to remove their own political problems, economic problems. They start wars and they wage on massacres. They permit themselves to check the progress of other world nations, to occupy and possess the riches of other world nations, and trample upon their dignity. They're not even kind to their own people. Look at the situation in North America and Europe. The people in those countries are confined to a certain number of monopolistic parties, and their cries of protest against monopolistic and domineering parties and governments reach nowhere. No one hears them. So the basis for their management, instead of a spread of love and affection toward world people, is only vengeance that stems from egoism, egocentrism, and a spread of warmongering in the world. They only care about their own legitimate and illegitimate interests, and they have nothing on their mind and divine and human values like justice, freedom, human dignity, and basic rights of world nations. They have no place in their minds, and they pay no respect for that. And they all should fall victim to their indefinite and insatiable interests. Well, most definitely, this kind of management is detrimental to all world nations and even they themselves. And continuation of such a trend will be definitely impossible. But there should be a major change, and the situation should change for the betterment of mankind. For a better world to be established, we need just mechanisms, the right logic based on peaceful coexistence must be established through understanding, cooperation in global decision-making. All of us need to stand up to do that. Respected friends, to that end, the greatest and significant event is the global management and governance, which needs to undergo basic change and reform. Or else, even if we sit and wait for years without making any reforms on global governance, and if we make lots and lots of small and big decisions and try to make efforts to implement them, then our time will also come to an end one day without being able to make any basic changes in the right direction. So in the global governance and management, the rights of the people and the interests of the people, the right movement should be taken toward justice. Clearly, the future governance should have two characteristics. One, loving the shared human and divine values like justice, freedom, human dignity, and restoring the right mutual respect and love for mankind. This should spread all over the world. Respected colleagues, without spreading and distributing love and affection and having love as the basis, and replacing egoism and egocentrism with love, restoration of peace and welfare will not be possible. Slavery, colonialism, and looting and warmongering, they are the result of the hearts of a few people who are powerful, whose hearts have nothing but egocentrism instead of love. All of us need to spread friendship, fraternity, and love. And the governments of the world should be at the hands of people whose hearts are replete and brimmed with love for humanity and virtues, dignity, and justice. Those who feel sorrowful when people are sad, they should care about everyone, and everyone else should care about them. They should not pursue their political or personal domineering designs. They should prefer the interests of humanity. And number two, the public and collective participation in world management. Experience has taught us that monopoly in any affair, and most importantly in the running of the world affairs, is a source of corruption. So we need a kind of mechanism to be put in place so that everyone would be in a just based situation and based on sympathy and affection participate in the running of the world affairs. Monopolizing the world governance must be crushed. If all of us take part in management of the world affairs, then the possibility of discrimination, imposition, and domineering will be minimized, and the possibility of enjoying facilities and possibilities for everyone will be provided. Respected audience, without a doubt, the principles of thought and social interactions should change to love and affection, interaction based on justice and respect. Materialization of this great aspiration is my mission and that of yours. This, in fact, is the remedy to the pains over centuries of mankind, and of course feasible. We have great and numerous capabilities. We are able, through collective participation and work, to come up with necessary mechanisms, including a political jury, banking system, insurance, and independent economic structures. By inventing novel methods of commerce and business, like bartering, like using our own national currencies, and stopping using a certain kind of currency, we can provide a better situation for our own people. And we can affect the world governance system more effectively. We will be able to protect our culture, and for the pride of our youths and women, we can implement better plans in the right time. The Nanalai movement, in order to guarantee its existence and to expedite the attainment of its long-term objectives, it needs to set up and found certain organizations and bodies to tap into the possibilities of the youths and women in order to flourish this movement globally. So my belief is that materialization of world governance that guarantees lasting peace based on justice and freedom and human dignity is the gist and the elixir of the aspirations of the late leaders of the Nanalai movement. This is a heavy responsibility shouldered by each and every one of us. The potentiality of Nanalai movement and the member states and the observers are wide scale The movement can have a determinant role in world equations, in the interest of member states and peace and justice. We are able to establish a provisional secretariat and to move toward forming bodies, toward collective efforts in the various political, economic, and cultural fields, as well as bilateral and multilateral cooperation to make the world a better place and establish lasting peace. The movement can, in an organized manner, help the United Nations and the affiliated bodies in line with restructuring the world body and its management system. The great nation of Iran, with the great historical experiences they have had and the great successes they have pulled off in confronting problems and pressures of tyrannical powers, the Iranian nation is ready to stand by your side and with your cooperation move toward the correction and reforming the governance of the body of the world and to tap into all its potentialities to that end. My friends, fortunately, this is a turning point in history. The Marxism has been scrapped, and the domineering capitalism is also on the threshold of collapse, and its historical era is over. So the fact this shows that we have made the right decision in an allied movement. The members have joined this movement, so there is this the designs of those world powers that impose their own wills. Today is a world of world nations, and following up the aspirations of the non-aligned movement and planning for fulfillment of all human aspirations and objectives. Undoubtedly, if we tap into this great global movement and use it the right way, so we will be able to go through the status quo and move toward a better situation with more success, less harms, and in a shorter time, and to usher in a new era, of a beautiful era on the horizons of the future for humanity. Fortunately, our goals in the common management of the world affairs is the very same aspiration of the holy and heavenly prophets of God, and aimed at establishing peace and justice across the world. Almighty God has promised that the day when world nations are ready and when they make up their minds, this lofty aspiration will be materialized by the promised one, the true lover of humanity, Almighty, peace be upon him. May God expedite his reappearance with the help of Jesus Christ and all other righteous people and freedom lovers and justice seekers. This will happen one day. So, in order to reach that situation, we need love, sympathy, and joint governance and collective efforts of all world nations and governments. This rightful path, and actually the only way, the only path for humanity today to get rid of oppression and decadence, and to move toward a brighter future for humanity. This is the path that will most definitely the world, men and women, at the same time when they increase their knowledge, they will more strongly take steps in that direction. This is the path. The path is there for you to take, and now is just the beginning. One more time, I would like to extend my appreciation to all of you and all those people who made attempts to hold this meeting. My appreciation goes to all of them. And we extend our hands for cooperation, and I'm hopeful for your support and cooperation of all of you. Mr. Chavez, the respective president of Venezuela, I want to congratulate him, and I also hope for the next, hope him success for the next 10 year. Thank you very much, everyone.
Shukran, Siyadat al-Akhir Rais Mahmoud Ahmadi Nejad, رئيس الجمهورية الإسلامية الإيرانية على هذه الكلمة وفليتفضل سيادته من الآن برئاسة الجلسة.
Please come ahead, sir, and preside the session.
از برادر عزیزم جناب آقای محمد مرسی رئیس جمهور محترم کشور برادر
نود ان نشکر سید دکتر محمد مرسی رئیس جمهوری مصر العربی
and I wish further success for his excellency the people of Egypt and all nations of the world.